Hey, man. Well, you think you have a hard job. You should have the job of having to stand up here and speak after that. What do you say? Have a good afternoon. God bless you. See you next week. I mean, my word. Jeff was right. Last year we were in the dark here, physically, but boy, not spiritually. We had a great service last year, even in the dark. With no microphones, no lights, no heat, no anything, but we had the presence of God and it was a great time together. And I'm looking forward to another great time this morning. I want to bring you a message that I've entitled A Light in the Darkness. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to two places, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. The first place is Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll begin reading with verse 2. The second place that I want you to turn to is in the New Testament, John chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 1. I'll give you just a moment to find those. I always used to love it as a kid when a preacher got up to preach and announced the text and had finished reading it before half the congregation had found it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Listen to these words. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Skip down to verse 6. These very familiar words. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That one phrase at the beginning of verse 2 is what I want you to keep in mind before we turn to the next passage. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That is another name for Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him. Now, as we read this, I want you to think of that baby in the manger. This is who it's talking about. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Skip down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, I'm so thankful for that yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. What a statement. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus went on to say in John 8:12, you don't have to turn there, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." One more time, in John 12:46, He said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." If you've ever experienced the feeling of being trapped in total darkness, not knowing where your next step will take you, you know how frightening that can be. No one likes to be lost in darkness. I remember the time in my life when I experienced the darkest darkness I have ever felt in my life. You say, what does that mean? Isn't dark dark? No, it's not. Dark here in Greenville is about half dark of what it can really get. When I was a boy in South Africa, our family went on a tour to a gold mine. South Africa is one of the richest countries in the world in gold and diamond mining. And you can take tours into these mines. Don't do it. It's a crazy idea. But anyway, we did. Our family went to this gold mine, and after part of the tour, it was time now to go down into the mine. And I remember they loaded us up onto this rickety old steel cage, and they closed the doors, and we began being lowered down into the earth by steel cables several hundred feet under the ground. We got out and began following the guide through some tunnels and exploring different things. And fortunately, they warned us about this because people would die of heart attacks. But as part of the tour, they said, "Now we're going to turn out the lights and let you see what it feels like to be this far under the earth without any light whatsoever." I want to tell you, that was a darkness that is indescribable. You could feel it around you. Many years later, I watched with great interest, after having had that experience, a breaking news story about some miners who had been trapped many hundreds of feet under the earth. A tunnel had collapsed, and they had been trapped in there now for many hours, and teams above the ground were furiously working, trying to figure out how to get down and rescue those miners. And of course, the news crews assembled, and it was beamed around the world. And I know this has happened many times in coal mines and gold mines. And it was now a couple of days into the event, and hope was almost gone for these miners. But they continued drilling and digging down into the ground with all the equipment that they could. And I will never forget the image on the television screen as I watched one miner being pulled up out of the darkness, and he was holding on to some kind of contraption they had lowered down, and he was all just completely covered in coal dust, and he was just about dead, but they got to him just in time, and they pulled him out of the darkness up into the light. And after he went to the hospital and went through all of that, a few days later he was being interviewed. And I'll never forget him saying that they were down there, and in the scramble of that cave-in, most of their lights had been lost, and they had one miner's helmet left with a light on it. and they used it until it ran out. And the rest of the time down there, they were in total darkness. And his friends were dying around him because of the gases and the fumes, and he was one of the lucky ones to survive. And I'll never forget the words that he said of the joy that filled his heart as that drill broke through and a little bit of light came into the darkness. He said it was that light that gave him hope when all hope was gone. He knew when he saw that light that someone was coming for him. And you know, I thought about that. And because of sin, all of mankind has been trapped in darkness. Every one of us. And we've been trapped without hope, without chance of rescuing ourselves. And even this morning, as you and I sit here, there are millions of people in this world who are still trapped in darkness with no light and no hope. I was thinking about this Christmas story and what it must have meant to those living at that time who were the first to hear the announcement that light was coming into the world. We've heard it so much. Sadly, it loses its power to us. But that announcement of Christ's birth came after probably the darkest spiritual time in history. I don't know if you realize this, but in your Bible, when you turn the page from the Old Testament to the New Testament, with one turn of a page, 400 years of history pass by. Don't ever forget that. When you go from the end of Malachi to Matthew chapter 1, with one simple flip of a page, 400 years of history takes place. 400 years of the darkest years in all of history. The Old Testament closed with a promise in Malachi chapter 3. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." What a promise. And people hung to that promise, and 1 year passed, and 2 years, and 1 decade, and 2 decades, and generations died off. And those words so full of hope spoken by the prophet Malachi began to fade into hopelessness and darkness. Heaven was not heard from. It was a period of silence and darkness. No messenger, no Messiah, no prophets, no angels, no word from God. The promise lost its luster. Habit replaced hope. Traditions replaced truth. The priesthood was used for political power, and the temple became a house of merchandise and thieves. Mankind was surrounded by religion, but still lost in darkness. Did you hear? It's the same today. They were surrounded by religion, but they were lost in darkness. 400 years. And I almost wonder if God waited as long as he could before breaking that darkness in order to give mankind every opportunity to pursue every other course of light and hope and peace that he could think of until he had exhausted them all and had no choice but to come back to those promised words of Malachi and realized that their only light, their only hope would ever come from the one that had been promised. And decade after decade, century after century, man searched every avenue to find light and to find peace and hope. And they came up empty every time. It's almost like the woman in the Bible who had the issue of blood, and the Bible says she'd spent all her money going from one doctor to the next to find help, and no one could help her. And one day she heard Jesus was passing through her town. And she plunged herself into that crowd. And out of sheer desperation, she pushed everyone aside. And she knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, how desperate does a person have to be to just want that as their ultimate goal? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll find what I haven't been able to find anywhere else. That's exactly what mankind was doing for 400 years, trying this and trying that until, in desperation, the world lay in darkness. And then you turn the page into the New Testament, and you hear the greatest news of all. Light is coming. Hope is coming. And as Galatians 4:4 so beautifully puts it, at just the right time, at the fullness of time, God sent his Son into the world to bring the light of life. And man's groaning and longing was answered on that night when God sent his Son into the world to be the light of the world and to shatter the darkness that had lay for 400 years. The words of the song that we heard this morning, you know, I just love when God puts a service together. There are weeks when Jeff and I work together and we work through all the details of a service until we have it all figured out, and there are weeks we just don't. This week, we didn't. I didn't ask him to do certain songs. He didn't know what I was talking about specifically. Some of the verses he's already mentioned are verses I've mentioned, and the song that we heard before the message is, and this is my opinion, so it really doesn't count for anything, but in my opinion, the words to that song are some of the greatest words ever penned outside the Bible. I sang that song for years and never really heard it. And I remember the Christmas service many years ago that I was in when I sang those words and I actually heard them for the first time. I was in tears. More powerful words I don't know where you could find outside of the Bible. Listen again to the words of that first verse. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Now, think of those 400 years of darkness when you listen to this next line. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining, till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. Have you ever heard anything like that? The soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Helen Keller is a woman who knew all too well of the joy of light breaking into a dark world. She was both deaf and blind. Can you imagine? Deaf and blind. She lived in a world of complete and utter darkness and silence. Years later, she wrote these words about her own life. For years, I had no concept whatsoever of nature or mind or death or God. I was like an unconscious clod of earth. My days were blank, without past, present, or future, without hope or anticipation, without interest or joy. Let me ask you, how many people's lives does that describe still to this day? No hope, no joy, no interest of past, present, or future. They're just living to get it over with. No hope, no light. One author wrote these words about Helen Keller's life. Let me read them to you quickly. Her first awakening came when a teacher named Ann Sullivan broke through her darkness and silence to communicate with her through words spelled into her hand. This opened up a world of human knowledge to her, and she soaked it up like a sponge. But this awakening to human knowledge was not enough for her. She longed for another awakening to the world that is unseen, even to those with their physical eyes intact. She longed to know about God, to experience Him in her own soul. The light came into her spiritual darkness when John Heights, a friend of hers, introduced her to the Scriptures. Here, at last, was the great light that she had been looking for to dispel the darkness of the soul that had come to trouble her far more than the darkness of her physical eyes. Most people don't have to contend with physical blindness and deafness like Helen Keller did. But even those with working eyes and ears still experience the spiritual darkness and silence that troubled her so much until she found that Christ alone could satisfy her deepest longings. You know, I thought about that story and the time of year that we're in right now, and it occurred to me that Helen Keller's experience of finding light in her darkness is a perfect reflection of the very story, the very event that we are celebrating as Christians this time of year. As we light our Christmas lights, as symbolically lighting the darkness of this darkest time of year, the winter, it reminds us of that light that came into the world when the world was at its darkest. Imagine the thrill of hope that ran through the world. The great light that shines in the darkness, folks, is none other than God Himself, the light of the world, who came down as a baby to light our darkness. As Christians, this time of year is really all about that light that came into the darkness. You notice it doesn't say that unto you is born a baby. You ever notice that? You can look at it, Luke 2. For unto you is born a child. If your Bible version says that, you need to throw it in the trash can. It's very specific in what it says. Why would we need light unless we were in darkness? A flashlight at noonday outside does no good to anyone because the light is not needed. But a light needed to be sent into the world because we were lost in darkness. The angel says it very clearly in Luke 2, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior. Who needs a Savior? Those who were lost. And all of mankind was plunged into the darkness and the lostness of sin until that light appeared. Another great songwriter, Philip Bliss, worded it this way, and I close with his words. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Aren't you glad He came? Aren't you glad He came? Can you imagine if that 400 years of darkness had been 4,000 years of darkness? Where would we be today without Him? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. I wonder this morning, have you seen that light? Has the light of the world ever shined into your darkness? If not, you can open the doors of your heart today and let that light shine in. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for sending the light of the world at just the right time to come and shatter the darkness of man's sin and to light our way. I thank You, Father, that Your Son was willing not only to come and be born as a baby and wrap Himself in human flesh. Lord, that in itself would be amazing enough. But I pray, Father, that none of us here in this room, no one listening over the internet, would ever stop at the manger. I pray that we would journey 33 and a half years later to a rugged hill outside Jerusalem named Calvary, and see that baby now as a young man hanging on that cross, bleeding and dying for their sin. Lord, we thank You on this Christmas week. We pause and we thank You for that gift that You gave. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today listening to my voice who does not know You as their Savior, I pray that even now, in these moments, they would call out to You by faith and ask You into their life to be their Lord and the light of their world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.